For scripture reading this morning, let us turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 25. Psalm 25. And there we read God's holy word, a psalm of David. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. So far the reading of the word of God. The text of the sermon is found in the portion we read, Psalm 25, verse 16. Psalm 25, verse 16, where we read the text of the sermon, God's holy word, turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. Beloved congregation, we may go to the Lord with all our needs. It's a wonderful gift from the Lord that we may empty our hearts before him. It's even an exhortation of the Lord. We read in Psalm 62, verse 8, trust in him all at all times, ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. God is hearing prayer. Scriptures provide us with many examples of people who have called upon the name of the Lord while they were in distress. A mark of a Christian life is that you pray. A Christian prays, or he's not a Christian. And in the psalm we are studying this morning, we find David on his knees as well. This is what he utters in verse 12. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. David went on his knees in need of the Lord's guidance. And one of his needs is that he feels desolate and afflicted. And therefore he prays to the Lord, "Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me." And with the help of the Lord, we will listen to the message of this text. And the text is also the theme of the sermon. "Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted." And we want to pay attention to David's misery and God's mercy. David's misery and God's mercy. Psalm 25 is written by David. It's a very common psalm and fits with various circumstances. And of course, David did not just write this psalm at random, but because of a specific occasion. We do not know the circumstances, and apparently it has pleased the Holy Spirit not to mention it. The psalm has a so-called alphabetic composition. That means that the first letter of the word of each verse starts with a consecutive letter of the alphabet. Typical of this composition is that teaching and praying alternate. David brings his need to the Lord, and at the same time he reminds himself of God's instructions. And just imagine this. We observe someone praying on his knees, and after that he reads a few verses and prays again. And keep this in mind when we listen to our text. The poet David is taught by God's word, and now he prays, "Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted." David prays for God's nearness and mercy because he is lonely and miserable. What do the words "desolate" and "afflicted" mean anyway? Well, both indicate the same thing. David is outwardly oppressed and inwardly distressed. He laments that he is lonely. He has been abandoned by his friends. The word "desolate" has a particular meaning. It relates to death. Death is in itself the most extreme form of loneliness. David says in Psalm 6 verse 5, "For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks?" Death is the end of all communion. There is no fellowship possible after death. And the grave symbolizes the end of all things. In the Old Testament, it is an expression of separation and abandonment. And David mentions several things which cause him to be desolate and afflicted. And let me name the most important ones. When we listen carefully to this psalm, we hear about enemies that trouble David. In verse 2 and 19, he speaks of enemies that threaten the triumph over him. And maybe this took place during the period that David was wandering in the desert, fleeing from Saul. During that period, David dwelt in many caves. He lived with a continual fear of danger. In the daytime, there was the hot sunlight, and in the night, it was bitterly cold. He was driven from his home, wife and children. David knew of loneliness. He was destitute of help. He felt afflicted. And whatever the enemies might be, David knew of a still greater misery. He feels as if he is in captivity. That is what we understand from verse 15 and 20. Maybe enemies have driven him into a trap, and does he not know how to escape? David expresses anxiety in verse 17 and 22. And the word used for trouble indicates stress, anxiety, because of his predicament. And maybe you can relate to this. We are, of course, not in the same situation as David, but maybe you recognize feelings of loneliness and affliction. Some suffer from mental issues like anxiety and depression, and they feel what no one else feels. Some people feel as if they live on edge, from worry to worry, from fear to fear, from panic to panic, always in expectation of the next what if coming to fruition. They try to push themselves on, feeling as if they are always climbing a mountain but never reaching its top. It's hard to understand those people if you have a relatively quiet life and are in a stable mood. And since they are often not understood, they feel even lonelier than they were already. It's good to regularly remember these strugglers in prayer. And yet there are also other people who are desolate and afflicted. Maybe you don't always observe it, but in a way, every person is lonely in this lifetime. Even when all things generally go well in your life, you surely know of times in which you feel lonely. Even when you always have company around you, you can feel lonely at times. You can live in a big city with people all around you, and yet life in the city can be lonelier than a life in the quietness of the country. In the city, you notice everyone living for himself, and you can guess that loneliness will increasingly become a problem in our society, which can be characterized as an individualistic society. If everyone lives for himself, then there is hardly any real communication. But let us stay a bit closer to home. You can feel desolate and afflicted because of unfulfilled desires. You have never met the right spouse, or you are married with the wrong spouse. A marriage can be the worst form of loneliness because you don't feel respected or understood by your spouse. Loneliness can be greater inside than outside of marriage. And young people, it is so important to develop skills for proper communication. When you date with someone, you should ask yourself whether you both can communicate about the most essential matters in life. And I know that we are all different and not everyone easily opens up about private matters. And yet, a courtship should not be characterized by always having fun, but by getting to know each other better by verbal communication. You can feel lonely because of disappointments, anger, sorrow, pain, or frustration. And then you have the feeling that no one understands, no one really listens, no one knows what you go through, and no one asks. You feel desolate and afflicted. Is that what David expresses in this psalm as well? Yes, but I believe that the meaning of the text goes deeper, because we hear David saying, I am desolate and afflicted. He does not only feel so, but he says that he is. And that goes beyond being in difficult situations and life's rough circumstances. With all he experiences, he is reminded of the deeper question of life. And that leads him to the confession, I am desolate and afflicted. When you try to explore the deeper questions of life, you will sense that you are desolate and afflicted. Why? Well, there are matters which you have to process alone. Your father or mother, your siblings or your spouse cannot always support you in this. For instance, when your conscience accuses you of sin which you have committed privately, no one knows. Not even your spouse. Only God knows. And sin always leads to isolation. What about feelings of remorse? Even when you share them with others, you have to bear them by yourself. You cannot undo what you did wrong in the past. You feel afflicted and lonely. It hurts inside. But let us go a step further. Our life will come to an end. Once, and maybe soon, death will demand your life. And this will happen when you have grown old, but it can also happen when you are young. Old people must die, young people can die. And death comes with its cold and insensitive claws and grabs life from you mercilessly. And then you must cross the death Jordan alone. Maybe you have once stood at a deathbed, seeing a person in a hard death struggle. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Death is a horrific monster which you will face alone. And if your sins are not forgiven, how then can you meet your Maker without terror? And then there will be no help, no support, no encouragement or comfort from people. Then you are indeed desolate and afflicted. And there is no more significant affliction than to experience that you are desolate. When a person is afflicted, he longs for company. But when no one who listens to you, no one who can look into your eyes, touch you, or express affection, you are desolate. From where comes all this sadness? Well, it does not come from God. He is not the author of desolation. No, it's a result of what we did in our ancestors, Adam and Eve. We forsook God by our disobedience. We turned our back to God. We left God, and therefore we are desolate. Our focus changed from God to self. And since we forsook God, we are forsaken. We chose for death instead of life. We chose desolation instead of perfect communion with God. We chose for loneliness. In paradise, there was no loneliness. Adam and Eve accompanied each other, and together they had communion with God every day. And they could hear His voice while walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and Eve were always excited. Listen, God is walking in the garden. We will be taught more about the mysteries of His holiness. And they loved to be in communion with God. That was their life. You know that this radically changed when Adam and Eve ate from the forbidden fruit. They hid from the presence of God, of the Lord. They ran away from God, embracing affliction and desolation. And everyone shares in this loneliness. No one accepted. And even if you would be supported by others your whole lifetime, even if you always enjoyed company from loved ones, the emptiness of this desolation cannot be filled by a man. Sin causes separation. And did this reality ever bring you into crisis, into straits, because you miss God? And missing God caused by your own sin, then you will admit, my sins make a separation between God and my soul. God has turned away His face from me. I am guilty. God has created me to live in communion with Him, knowing and enjoying His love forever. But with every sin, I wander from God, choosing my own ways apart from Him. This is the stark reality. And it is even more serious in that we by nature do not feel the weight of this burden. We do not miss God. We need the uncovering work of the Spirit. And He must open our eyes. We are insensitive to our spiritual need without His powerful work. But when He opens your heart by His word, you sense the bitterness of missing God. And your false peace and rest disappear. You discover your true spiritual need. You are uncovered by the Lord, and you confess, I am desolate and afflicted. I am without a helper. Spiritually, you feel bowed down in grief because of your sins and guilt. And David knew of this. David knew that his own sins are the ultimate cause of his loneliness. He points to the sins of his youth in verse 7. And he knows that his iniquities are great. See verse 11. And as long as his sins are not covered, God cannot live in communion with him. And as long as he bears his debt, he remains what he is, desolate and afflicted. David misses God. Do you know of this missing as well? When you experience your misery, the Lord makes room for Himself. He shows you your loneliness, and you discover that there is no true comfort apart from God. That is the first fruit of His uncovering work. You miss God, and you discover that there is no true life apart from God. What to do? You can do nothing but cry to God, as David did, as we read in verse 1, unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. And what a blessing when you come to an end with your guilt for God. What a blessing when you cannot find peace anymore in the desert of this life. No escape routes remain, but the escape to heaven, the way of prayer. A way is given by God. And David knew this way, and he entered it. He flees to God in his need. But how sad if you don't know of this. If you don't take refuge to the Lord, then you are truly desolate and afflicted. Maybe you shrug your shoulders and say, this is no desperate need to me. Well, my friend, that's because you don't plumb the bottom of your soul. Soon, when you die, you will experience that this is true. If you die in your sin, you will be desolate without end. And then you will not find any support or help from anyone. Then you cannot cover up your awful predicament. Then you will be exposed to eternal loneliness. Oh, face the truth of what you are. Examine your own heart and don't run away from this most important question. What is your comfort, both in life and death? You need to know the answer because you are desolate and afflicted. And when you die, you will die alone. Your family and friends will stay behind. And where will you be? Oh, you are blessed when you come to see your need of the Lord. That you will confess your desolation as guilt before God. And that you will confess, I am the cause of my misery. It's my own fault. And you will feel your need of God's mercy. And you begin to pray, turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me. Now we have come to our second thought, namely God's mercy. What is David asking for? Well, two things which are connected. First of all, he begs the Lord to turn his face to him, turn thee unto me, because the Lord had turned away his face. That means that the Lord had withdrawn his gracious work in David's heart. David did not experience the sensitive nearness of the Lord anymore. What does he need? God turned to him again. God to intervene. Otherwise, David will be lost. And the crisis can only be alleviated by God's intervention. It has to come from the other side, from God. God will shine his face upon David because of undeserved goodness. And David confesses, it will be well with me only if God intervenes and sends assistance. Hide not thy face afar from me, for thou alone canst help afford. O, cast me not away from thee, nor let my soul forsaken be, my Savior and my Lord. Only God can help. Do you know of this cry for mercy? You learn to depend on the Lord alone. Only God can save. Only when God lifts up his countenance upon you, you will be comforted. David prays for mercy as well. Mercy means that God gives without any obligation. He provides without any merit from your side. It means that the Lord turns to you although you deserve to be cast off forever. In this petition, we hear a prayer for forgiveness of sin. Have mercy upon me. We hear the same prayer from the publican in the temple. He did not lift up his eyes to heaven because he knew that he deserved nothing. He bowed deeply and humbly in the dust and implored, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Do not reward me according to mine iniquities, but turn unto me in the multitude of thy tender mercies. And David prays for the covering of his sins, for God to make reconciliation for his sins, the sins of his youth, the sins of his old age, that long register of sins, that long register of sins, that high mountain of guilt, have mercy upon me. In Psalter 4:15, stanza 8, we read a beautiful expression by which praying for the turning of his face and the prayer for his mercy are connected. Turn thou unto me in mercy. That is the core. God condescending to a sinner in mercy. What do you think? Will the Lord hear David's prayer? And we can add a more important question for you. Will the Lord hear you when you pray for his friendly countenance and for his mercy? Pray for his mercy. Yes, sue for his mercy. Out of the depth of your troubles, in the valley of humility. Well, when we read this text, we might think that man's desolation and affliction move God to show his mercy. Have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. But our loneliness and misery can never be the reason for God to hear us. We cannot reason, now I am so miserable, surely the Lord will intervene. Or, now I experience my need before God, making the Lord willing to help out. As if we can arouse God's tender mercy by our misery. As if God can ignore his justice and look upon man in his misery and grief because of his prayer. The Lord grants mercy never because of any reason in man. The only reason is to be found in his precious name. In this psalm we always read the name Lord with capital letters. Lord Jehovah. This is God's covenant name. In this psalm, David appeals to God and his covenant. What covenant? The covenant which God made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The covenant of grace. And you need to know that what is at the core of this covenant, it's found in Genesis 17, as you know, where the Lord promises Abraham and his seed to be a God unto him. And unto his seed after him. And in this psalm we see a clear reference to God's covenant in verse 10 and 14. Verse 10, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. And verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, that he will show them his covenant. And in our text, David pleads God's promises. You need to know that the word used for mercy is a covenant word. This reminds us of the story about Jehoahaz, king of Israel, who was oppressed by Hazael, king of Syria. Who was Jehoahaz? Well, in 2 Kings 13, we read that Jehoahaz was a bad king. Children, he followed in the sins of Jeroboam, says the Bible. Well, that's an indication that he did all he could do to provoke God to anger. And what happened? Well, the anger of the Lord was kindled by him. God punished Israel because of their heinous sins. He sent Hazael, king of Syria, who oppressed Israel. And then Jehoahaz saw the Lord. He pleaded with the Lord, and the Lord heard. 2 Kings 13, verse 23. And the Lord was gracious unto him and had compassion on them and had respect unto them because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and would not destroy them, neither cast he them from his presence as yet. God showed his mercy since he remembered his covenant. And the same happens in our text. David calls upon the Lord for mercy, pleading God's covenant. Psalter 4:15, verse 9 aptly says, "Oh, consider my affliction, all my travail, Lord, behold, Lord," which should be understood as Lord with capital letters, that is Jehovah God, the God of the covenant, the God who is faithful to his own word. And Jehovah God has fully explained and spelled out his name in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has endured the loneliness of his entire church as mediator and surety. It is only for Jesus' sake that God shows his mercy to sinners who have forfeited all, who deserve to go lost in their own misery, to be lost forever, to be desolate and afflicted without end. A perfect mediator, as perfect mediator, the Lord Jesus has endured the desolation and affliction of his people. God's justice requires payment for every sin. And yet the Lord Jesus has paid the price for his people. He came into this world and became very man. Though he was without sin, he became desolate and afflicted. And that started right at the very beginning of his life. He descended to this world. He left the heavenly splendor. He was a stranger of any form of desolation and affliction. There was perfect communion between the Father and the Son while he was in the bosom of the Father. And yet, he was laid in a manger. And from the very beginning of his life, he suffered. And every step of humiliation was caused by our sin. Deeper and deeper he experienced the consequences of sin, namely the separation between man and God. And in his human nature, he needed to seek the communion with his Father in prayer time and again. He spent many nights on the mountain to be alone with his Father, since he was desolate and afflicted. No man understood what Jesus endured, not even his disciples, who were his most intimate friends. He was lonely, since he had to suffer all by himself. And he became even more desolate when his suffering came to a head. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he wrestled with his Father in prayer. His soul shuddered when he saw the dregs of God's wrath over sin in the cup of suffering. And he said to his disciples, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me," because he was so desolate and afflicted. And yet his disciples forsook him when Roman soldiers laid hands on Jesus. There was no helper. No one was willing to offer him any support. There was no listening ear or comforting words. He was lonely. He was cast away by man. But worst of all, he was forsaken by God. Look at him, the bloody man of suffering hanging on the cross. And there he suffered hellish agony and pain. There was no place for him on earth. And heaven rejected him. And there he experienced the reality of hell. What is hell? To be without God. In hell there is no communion. In hell you are forsaken by God. In hell there is no common grace. No one but the Lord Jesus has experienced the pit of desolation, namely to be forsaken by God. Why? So that we would never be forsaken by Him. He suffered all for His people. He was forsaken by God in order to make full satisfaction to the justice of God. The experience of being desolate and afflicted and all other kinds of suffering in this lifetime are, as it were, a vestibule of hell. And therefore it is so necessary to know Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has suffered hellish desolation and affliction in the stead of His people. And maybe you wonder, where can I find the Lord? How can I find Him while I am so miserable? God is faithful to His covenant. And therefore He still seeks sinners in their misery. With Him, there is plenty redemption. He offers mercy to people who must admit, I am desolate and afflicted, and it's all my own fault. He is willing to turn His face to those who deserve everlasting loneliness and distress. He is able and willing only because of who He is. Only because of the finished work of His Son, Jesus Christ. Does this give you hope? Hope for your soul? God is seeking your good while you are under the preaching of the gospel. Or when you look at yourself, you have no reason to hope. But the miracle of grace is that the Lord hears those who can only do one thing: beg for His mercy. Turn thee unto Me and have mercy upon Me. Only because of the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is a hearing God in and through the Lord Jesus. And you are desolate, except when you know the desolate one as your mediator. Only when you are engrafted into Him, then you cannot be separated from God anymore. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have access to the Father. No, that does not mean that you can never feel desolate and afflicted anymore. There can be times that you sense that people don't understand you and that God has hidden His face from you. God's people don't constantly sense the Lord's nearness. And when you fall into sin, when you become sloppy in the service of the Lord, He will withdraw the working of His Spirit. And the canons of the Lord state that the withdrawing of His gracious countenance is more bitter than death. And yet the Lord is faithful to His own work. Those who are His own will not end up in everlasting destruction. They will not. Since as the elect of God, they have been purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just before the Lord Jesus ascended into heaven, He promised His church, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He's with all those who trust him, even when they don't sense his nearness. He has borne their misery. Isaiah says of him, in all their affliction, he was afflicted. He has compassion on his people and is always mindful of them. He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that gives hope for the future. Because the one who has descended into hell is also the one who ascended into heaven. He was desolate and afflicted instead of his people. He was forsaken from God so that you will never be forsaken. And being in Christ, the gates of hell shall not prevail against you, because the Lord Jesus is the living Savior who preserves his church. And in heaven, he prepares a place for all his own so that they will enter in perfect and everlasting communion with God when death comes. And blessed is he who knows of communion with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. At times his nearness may be experienced, which is a foretaste of heavenly communion. Congregation, it is one out of two. Either we abide in the vestibule of heaven, or we abide in the vestibule of hell. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God unreconciled. Seek life with Christ. Seek communion with your Maker again. The Lord reveals himself to be the God who seeks and finds desolate and afflicted people. God is more willing to turn to you in mercy than you are willing to turn back to him in repentance. Only in Jesus Christ you observe God's mercy to you. In Jesus Christ you can see God's countenance lifted up. In Jesus Christ, God is willing and able to grant mercy. Will you not pray with David for this mercy every day? Turn thou unto me in mercy. Have compassion on my soul. I am sore distressed and lonely. Waves of trouble over me roll. Myriad woes beset me, my heart. Myriad doubts and bitterness. Thou, who my deliverer art, bring me out of my distresses. Amen.